Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now we want to talk Twins, and Bobby Nightingale joins us. He covers the team for the Star Tribune. Bobby, good to visit with you, and thanks as always for the time.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Bobby, gorgeous weather, and the Twins swinging the bats lately.
Yeah, I mean, they've not only swinging the bats, running the bases pretty well, stealing a lot. So three straight games with at least seven runs, but the homers are starting to come around a little bit. They're running hard. Just looks like a different offense. I mean, just obviously scoring runs will do that, but, just a different level of quality from the at-bats, too, where drawing a ton of walks, not striking out a lot. And, they're playing good teams. Toronto coming off the Toronto series, San Diego now facing good pitching, and, they're hanging in there offensively at least.
Yeah, and, Bobby, there's a lot of disappointment around this club. It goes without saying. Coming out of the break, they had an opportunity. They didn't take advantage. And then ultimately, Derek Falvey decided to make a ton of deals on deadline day. And I think a lot of people were staggered by that. But nevertheless, when you look at the players that are there, it is an opportunity for them to prove that they belong in the big leagues. And what this club's going to look like next year. And even after the trade, and I talked to your colleague Phil Miller about it, they have, going into 2026, a very solid starting rotation. Coming into 25, that figured to be a strength. The bullpen was. They made a lot of deals and sent a lot of people out of that bullpen to other clubs. But the starting rotation going forward next year still looks like a strength of the team.
Yeah, at least as of right now. I mean, I wouldn't rule out future trades in the offseason, just knowing kind of how much payroll they saved from the trade deadline and whether that could, that you keep shaving that down. But, they're in a spot where it's not like they're starting from scratch. I mean, you look at rotation with Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, and Pablo Lopez will be back in the big leagues hopefully next week. And, if some of the young guys can take steps forward, Zebby Matthews, David Festa, Tosh Bradley starting today, Mick Abel, another one. You don't need a ton of guys to dream on. I mean, you just need a few guys to take a step forward, and then your rotation's not too bad. Obviously, you're going to have to rebuild the bullpen after the trade deadline. And, the offense, I mean, they didn't trade many guys who were part of the offensive core. Traded a lot of guys that are going to be free agents at the end of the season. But this is a chance to, with the prospects that are in AAA, this is a chance to kind of prove that they deserve a spot in the big leagues. And the position player side, I mean, that's going to determine how fast or slow this rebuild is going to be after the trade-off. If some of these offensive players can develop a little bit quicker, you look at 2026, 2027 as, semi-competitive, maybe wild card, something like that. If they continue to struggle offensively, then you're looking at something way deeper and, a lot more painful of a rebuild.
Yeah, and beyond that, there's so many clouds gathering on the horizon about potential work stoppage anyway, that at the moment it appears the players and the owners are very far apart. And then there's a group of owners, haves, and the have-nots that need to come together on a plan going forward. So, that labor strife is looming over the major leagues, there's no doubt.
Yeah, and you'll probably see a lot of coverage for it this offseason and into next year. I think what's different about this one, I mean, usually it's always been players versus owners, fighting to determine how much of the money to split. But now you kind of have an owner versus owner, big market owners versus small market owners, ones who want the salary cap and ones who are okay with the current system. That's going to have to play out before you even get to the players. And, players have always been against the salary cap. And, You're looking at probably a lockout. I mean, Ron Manfred's the commissioner's talked pretty openly about not afraid to do a lockout after next season. So, it wouldn't surprise anyone for sure if that happens. And then the big question becomes, will they start missing games over a potential salary cap and how long that happens? So, long-term, definitely it's frustrating just, knowing the sport. Attendance is up across the league and TV ratings are a little bit higher. And it's like you built all this momentum going to the pitch clock and everything else. And then finally, a labor strife could shut it down.
Yeah, but there are no doubt revenue challenges for a lot of the clubs. And, we'll use the old example. In the NFL, all these clubs share that huge pot of television money equally. That is not the case in the major leagues. And that's an owner versus owner issue. That has nothing to do with the players. You look at the money generated by the Yankees or the Dodgers, and you could make the argument that the Yankees and Dodgers need the other clubs to play. The Yankees and Dodgers just can't play against each other. They need opponents. And I think that television revenue model is broken in the major leagues. And until the owners get together and figure out how to split that money more equally, I don't know what the way forward is.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. And my counter would be, I do think there's a difference between some of the way these teams are run. I mean, the Dodgers, they have the huge payroll, they have their star players. But, they got guys like Michael Kopech from the White Sox and Tommy Edman from the Cardinals that any team could have got, and they developed them into good players last year and on their way to a World Series. And, they have one of the best farm systems, and that's not just due to a high payroll. They do a great job with their player development. Then you look at teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates, who don't spend money, major leagues or minor leagues, it seems like, and, they're so far behind. They have one playoff win in, I think, 30 or 40 years, and it's, even with the even salary cap at the major league level, I don't know, that it changes. Like, you look at the NFL, the Cleveland Browns have been so bad for so long, and I'm sure there's NBA teams that you could cite that have been bad for 20 years. I don't think it's an automatic fix that competitive balance that way, but the one stat I think always sticks out is there's only been one World Series winner in this century that had a payroll below the league average. So you have to have above league average payroll to win a World Series. That's something that baseball's got to figure out.
Well, great example you brought up, the Pirates. Paul Skeens is there, and I don't think anybody believes that he's going to be around the minute he can move on.
Yeah, and that's something tough for baseball. I mean, there are some stars that have stayed. Bobby Witt Jr. in Kansas City signed a big deal. Milwaukee gave a big one to their center fielder, Jackson Chourio. Even Tampa Bay Rays, Wander Franco ended up getting suspended and out of baseball now, but they gave him a $200 million or $100 million contract. So I don't think you can automatically assume they're all going to leave. But, yeah, I mean, once you get closer to free agency and you're at the Paul Skeens level, it's almost like, okay, when he's a free agent, the only teams interested are going to be the Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox. That's the issue, is once they hit free agency, it's going to be a handful of teams that are the only ones that can afford them.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back home to talk about the Twins a little bit, and Byron Buxton in your piece joined the 2020 club and with a steal of third base as the Twins beat the Padres on Friday night. Byron Buxton's had a whale of a year, and if you would have told me during spring training that Byron Buxton would have a season like this and be relatively healthy. I know he's had some stints on the injured list, the concussion earlier, and then the recent stint on the injured list. But beyond that, Byron Buxton's been really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the most unfortunate part of it, being such a lost season, yeah. Just how well he's played this year. At this rate, he might get down-ballot MVP votes. 10 players are on MVP ballots, and I could see him being one of them. Just an incredible kind of story for him. First 2020 season of his career. First time he stole third base in his career yesterday. He's just doing it's impressive that he's still doing first. And also impressive that not only is he healthy, but just performing the way he has. I mean, playing as well as he has in his entire career. And that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, he's older than 30 and still the fastest guy in the league, still showing off the power that he has. There's not five full talents like him everywhere. So, fun to finally see it come to fruition in a healthy year.
Yeah, Bobby, do you get a sense ever since the trade deadline what he would be thinking? And I doubt he would tip his hand. He has a strict no-trade clause. He's said all the right things about wanting to stay with the Twins. He has a team-friendly contract. He certainly has marquee value. I would hope Byron Buxton's future is here in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's what he wants, and publicly and privately, he's always maintained that's the same thing. I do think it had an impact. He played with Joe Mauer at the end of Joe Mauer's career and seen the way Joe Mauer was treated, the one franchise. I do think that sticks with him in his mind. And, when he got the long-term deal, that was his intention. He wanted to be a Twin for life, and right now it's under his control. I mean, he gets control of that. And there were teams that asked about him at the trade deadline, several of them, that said, hey, if you want to waive your no-trade clause with everyone else getting traded away, let us know. And he declined and said, I still want to be a part of this, and traveled with the team on the road trip when he was hurt. So I think he's committed as could be, privately and publicly, to be Twin long term.
Yeah, and certainly good news for Twins fans to hear that. Key guy that came the Twins way at the trade deadline, Taj Bradley, will get the start against the Padres tonight. And he's one of these guys for Derek Falvey and the Twins. He needs to pan out. And big guy, young guy, still trying to figure it out a little bit. But this will be very important for him to hit and stick and be an effective starter.
Yeah, and he's done it before. I mean, he's shown flashes of it in Tampa Bay, where he's had 2 or 3 month stretches where he's one of the best pitchers in the league, and ERA below 1 for 3 months, and so it's in there. I mean, it's kind of like Joe Ryan was in the past, where he can put up a high strikeout rate, and it's just a matter of consistency. And the Twins have shown they can do that with some guys. Pablo Lopez became more consistent when he was here, so that's kind of what they're betting on, is that they can kind of eke that out of him. I think it's important to remember how young he is. I mean, he's younger than Zebby Matthews and David Pesta. He's been in the big leagues for 3 seasons, but he's still one of the youngest guys on this team. And I think that's what got the Twins excited when he was available for Griffin Jackson. That trade was just knowing, a young starting pitcher that doesn't come around very often, one tweak here or there. If you can get the most out of him, I mean, that's a number 2, number 3 starter for you long term.
Twins and Padres tonight, lineup card minutes away at 5:30, first pitch after 6 o'clock. And the Padres, they've got to feel comfortable here in Minneapolis tonight. This is San Diego weather, man. This is really good. I mean, some of the best weather anywhere in the United States is in San Diego most of the year, but it was pretty good Friday night, and it's really good again tonight.
Yeah, can't beat it. I mean, here at the State Fair, I mean, you can't ask for better weather, no matter where you're at, if you're outside.
Yeah, well, Bobby, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time.
Of course. Thanks, Steve.
There he is, Bobby Nightingale, covers the Twins for the Star Tribune, joining us in the Writer's Corner.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.